Well, let's turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of Colossians. We'll begin there as we're going to continue our study in historic Baptist beliefs. Why are we Baptists and what does it mean to be a Baptist? And how are Baptists different from others? Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time really comparing denominational beliefs, but we're just spending time telling you what Baptists are. And so along the left, you see the word Baptist going down, and each letter, of course, is part of the acrostic. The B, the first B, is biblical authority, and we looked at that last week and how everything for a Baptist rises and falls on the Word of God. And that's not the case in every denomination. And as crazy as that sounds, it's the truth. And I just couldn't imagine being in a church that didn't have the Bible as its final authority in all matters. And so today we want to move, of course, along to the letter A. And A is the autonomy of the local church. A-U-T-O-N-O-M-Y, autonomy. What does the word autonomy mean? Self-rule, exactly. And so this is opposed to different forms of government. Now, there's three basic forms of church government. There's the episcopal form, and that's what our Roman Catholic friends are. They have the Pope at the top, then, and I don't know the whole hierarchy of cardinals and everything else, but that's what they do. They have the Pope who speaks for the church. The Episcopalian, Anglican, or Church of England, just three names of the same church, they're also Episcopal. The Methodists are essentially the Episcopal form of government. Unfortunately, that's not in the scriptures. We'll see the scriptural in just a moment. The second form of church government is called Presbyterian. And of course, you have the Presbyterian denomination and the Reformed churches. My wife and I are from Grand Rapids, and the Christian Reformed Church has its headquarters, at least it used to have its world headquarters there in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and they were everywhere. And but they also practice the Presbyterian form of government. And that just means that each church, the pastor, and then some of the ruling elders would form delegates to what was called the presbytery or the synod. And it just essentially what it is you've got a small group in the church that ran the church, but then you had the church headquarters that each church could send a representative to, and the headquarters are what ran the church, not the church itself. Now, the third form is the scriptural form, and that's the Baptist form, and that's the congregational form of church government. It's basically itself explanatory. It is autonomous. That's what it means, is that each church rules itself or governs itself. All authority resides in the church. Now, this is important for us in our day and age because we live in an era, and it's really hasn't been around that long, probably longer than any of us have been alive, but really, when you consider church history, it's a recent phenomena, and that's the parachurch organization. Now, a parachurch organization is a Christian organization that is not under the authority of a local church. Now, there's a lot of groups like that, and I could start naming them off, and you'd be familiar with them, and you'd scratch your head and say, well, what's wrong with them? And some of them, there isn't anything wrong with other than the fact that they've thrown off God's place of authority and rule, the autonomy of the local church. But think of Harvard University. We're all familiar with that Ivy League school. I think most of us know why it was founded. Would anyone like to share why Harvard University came into existence? To train preachers. Because they didn't want an illiterate clergy. And that's a good cause. But recently, now they have, I don't remember the exact number. I want to say it's about 100 chaplains that work for Harvard University to minister to the students there. And they have a president that the chaplains themselves elect as the president of their group. They recently elected an atheist to be their president, to represent them. Now, how did that happen? Because it wasn't a local church ministry. We can go college after college after college that has fallen. Mission agencies do the same thing. There's some mission agencies that 100 years ago were founded with all the right reasons and all the best intentions that today are not what they used to be. Did you know that two of the bigger independent Baptist mission agencies, Baptist Men Missions and Association of Baptists for World Evangelism, and maybe others, I don't know, but I do know that those two, that when you send your missionary support to them, you're not legally supporting the missionaries. You're donating to the Baptist Men Missions or the ABWE Foundation. And then the foundation is what supports the missionaries. You see, they've gotten too big for their britches. And that's all because of a lack of practice of the autonomy of the local church, that the authority that God has placed on earth, it resides in each individual local body. And so this is an important doctrine and very relevant today, even though it's not one that's going to get you all excited and pumped up and ready to go out and charge the gates of hell with a squirt gun. It's not going to do that. But nevertheless, it's very critical that we understand this. And so where do we get this doctrine from? And that's why we're in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 18. Here the Bible tells us, and he is the head, speaking obviously of Jesus Christ, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. It tells us very clearly that Jesus is the head of the church, not the Pope, not the presbytery or the synod, not the district superintendent from the Methodist or the Nazarene churches, not the cardinals, not even the preacher. You see, there's a lot of good independent fundamental Baptist churches where the preacher is the final authority and the head of the church. I'm not the head of Covenant Baptist Church. And Pastor Paul and Pastor Ted, they weren't the head of the Covenant Baptist Church ever. The Lord Jesus Christ is. And when we make decisions, we have to surrender, yield, and submit to what he wants us to do. That's important, especially with our meeting tomorrow. The whole key is, what does God want us to do? Because he has placed each of us here for a reason, and I mentioned that, for a purpose. He's given you different skills and different abilities than someone else. And he's given you those so that you can use those here in this church to glorify God and reach souls for Christ and minister to other people. And so we find in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 18, that Jesus Christ is the head of the church so that he might have preeminence. Now back a few pages in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 5, we had a very similar statement, 5:24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto whom? Unto Christ. We must never forget that. And again, we say, well, that's just kind of crazy to even have to bring this up. And this should be a no-brainer. This should be automatic, but it's not. So many churches are subject to something else or someone else. If our only focus is on filling up the pews, then that becomes what we're subject to. If we're subject to, or if we're more interested in the music and just having the music that's loud and that makes the chairs bounce up and down in their place, well, that becomes what we're subject to. And there's a lot of churches out there, it's all about the music, or it's all about this, or it's all about that. What about having it be about God again? That's what worship is, the worship of Almighty God in heaven. And we need to be careful about our focus. He is the head. Now, how does this play out? Well, in Acts chapter 13, and again, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Just trying to emphasize what we believe as Baptists and showing you that this is scriptural so that if it ever comes up in conversation, you can take the scriptures and you can defend your position that it isn't the mission board that sends out the missionary. It's not the Pope who sends out a missionary or anything. It's the church. Acts chapter 13, verse number 1. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, now notice these next few words, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And so the Holy Spirit calls into the ministry, but he does it through the local church. And so in verse number 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, who sent them away? It was the local church. The whole concept or the whole idea behind laying hands on is just simply saying, this man represents us. That's the whole point of laying on of hands. In fact, it's a local church that sends out not just missionaries, but sends out preachers. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, we have a reference to hands having been laid on Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 14, God says this, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. And so it's a local church that sends the missionaries and the preachers out. It's God who calls them, but it's not the mission agency. It's not the denominational headquarters. It's the local church. And the laying on of the hands is a public sign that the church recognizes the call of God on the individual and is sending them out into the ministry for the glory of God as their representative in the field that God has called them to. And so it's important for us to understand that the autonomy of the local church is not a denominational sending, a mission board sending, it's the local church sending them. And when a mission or agency or a mission board has the control over the missionary, then there's a problem. I know a missionary. I could tell you his name. I won't. I don't know that you would even know this fellow, but he was in France for a number of years. And he came back to the States. He felt the Lord was calling him out of France to a different ministry. And the Baptist mission board he was with told him, since you know French and are fluent in French, we need missionaries in French-speaking Canada. And so you need to go up there. But his church told him, we need you to go about 45 minutes away because there's a huge Hispanic population that we want to reach with the gospel. Who should he listen to? His church or the mission agency? The church. Because it's the church that sends. That's where the authority is. Not in the denomination. In Acts chapter 15, we find that God is invested in the church to determine policies and make official statements. It's important to see the wording in this chapter because the debate is over the plan of salvation. Do they have to keep the law or not? And it came to become a real controversial issue. And in verse number 6, it says the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And so some argue that it was just like a Presbyterian type thing where they had just the select leaders of the church that made the decision. But look at verse 22. Verse 22 makes it very clear this was a church decision and the church decided on it. This was a church business meeting where they made the decision and made the vote. Then please it, the apostles and the elders with the whole church. And so we see that the church was autonomous. You didn't have a few at the top dictating what the policy was. Back in Acts chapter 6, when there was a controversy regarding the feeding of the widows, what did the apostles tell the church to do? Look at verse number 2 of Acts chapter 6. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word." And so what we have happening here is the church is electing the first deacons. And so even though the word deacon isn't there, this is where they begin. And so we see the church making that decision as a body, not the leaders appointing. We see back in chapter 1, the first church business meeting that we have recorded in the book of Acts, someone to take Judas Iscariot's place. And again, at the last verse in Acts chapter 1, it says they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias. And when we read that word lot, too often we think, well, they drew straws. And whoever got the longer straws, the one who got in. Well, that's not what it's talking about. When it says lots, it's just simply, we would use the word casting their ballot. That's how we would say it. They voted on who it was. And so we see, again, a congregational vote, congregational church government. In Matthew chapter 18, we have church discipline addressed by the Lord Jesus Christ as he instructs us how to do it. But it's interesting and telling on how it's handled here. In verse number 15 of Matthew 18, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican." What you don't find here is sending them to the denominational headquarters or having them go to a higher authority. The church is listed as the highest authority. And we see this again in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where the man was in adultery. And God told the church to excommunicate him through the apostle Paul. And Paul didn't say, I excommunicate him out of the church. He's no longer a member of your church. Paul didn't have that authority. God didn't give it to him. God gave it to the church. And so Paul's advice under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God to that church was do what you're supposed to do. You have that authority. You have that ability to make that judgment and to act on behalf of God. God has placed the authority in the local church. Now, I should have read a little bit more, at least one more verse in Matthew 18. If you're still there, look at verse 18. "Verily I say unto you," now he's talking to about the local church, "whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." God has invested a great deal of authority in the Covenant Baptist Church, and in every other Bible-believing independent Baptist church. God has invested a great deal of authority in it, and we need to recognize that authority. Now, when we talk about the authority in the Covenant Baptist Church, in whom does that authority reside? Resides in you and in me, because as we as a church body make those decisions, God says they're binding. Now that puts a great responsibility on our shoulders that we can't cast off. It's imperative that we walk with God. It's imperative that we're faithful to the business meetings. It's imperative that we know the will of God as we go into a business meeting. It's imperative that we back it up and and just lay the groundwork of prayer for the decisions that we make in a church, whatever it may be, in whatever capacity, because God has given us that wisdom. He's given us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to show us His will. And the only way we're going to know God's will as a church is if we have God's mind through prayer and by walking with God. And so the A is the autonomy of the local church. Episcopal is governed by bishops. Presbyterian is governed by presbyters or elders. And congregational is governed by the local church. And so we need to walk with God all the time that we might cast a vote that brings honor and glory to Him. So like I said, maybe not the most exciting doctrine to talk about, the autonomy of the local church, but a necessary doctrine and an important doctrine so that we understand our place in the program of God here during the New Testament era. All right, let's be dismissed in prayer. Father, we're grateful for Your word and the clarity of it. Father, we know there's a lot of different ideas on how to govern a church. Father, may we here at the Covenant Baptist Church endeavor to do it exactly as outlined in Your word. And Father, that may we be faithful to it and shoulder our responsibility that Your will is done here as in heaven. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.